Hi, bosses. Welcome back to the Currently Bossing podcast, powered by the Boss Up Agency. I'm your host, Brittany Nicole, and welcome to Season 7, The Art of Being Well. Today, we're chatting with Elise Fox, founder of Sad Girls Club. Elise is a director, activist, and tastemaker living in New York City. You may have read her name in bylines for Vogue magazine, Forbes, and Broadly, to name a few. Through her efforts to create access and community within the mental health world, Elise has partnered with Nike, Harvard University, the U.S. intelligence community, Instagram, and many more. Her mission is to connect communities, spread awareness, and access to resources through vulnerability, gathering, and storytelling.
Elise, welcome to the show. I'm super excited to have you and talk about all things Sad Girls Club.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here today.
Of course. And one of the things that I love to start off with is painting the picture for our listeners. So tell us more about you and what led you to creating Sad Girls Club.
For sure. So I started Sad Girls Club in 2017 after a really, really awful experience with my depression and me figuring out what was going on with myself mentally and understanding that I did have depression. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I decided to move back home to New York City after being out for 5 years. And when I came back, like, everything within my community had changed, and gentrification was, like, still pretty new, but, like, I saw a difference. And I just didn't feel like I saw myself within the spaces that I used to exist in. And through, like, me healing and, like, finding my own place, I started an Instagram to talk about the things that I was experiencing. And through a film I created called Conversations with Friends, I was essentially just like using that as a way to talk to my friends and family about my depression and like letting them know, like, I might seem like I'm okay, but I'm really not okay. And then once that film was released, I just received a wave of like positivity from like young women all over the country, all over the world, who saw themselves in my story, wanted to know more, but also wanted that space to be able to share their stories too. So with that, I created Sad Girls Club on Instagram, and within the month we were like activating, which that wasn't even a word back then, but we were having events, like really small events, like 20 people or less, but that really showed me like I had to keep doing this because people wanted to show up in person and talk about these things, and they wanted to have this space to talk about things that are so heavy on their hearts.
And paint what year this was. What circle was this?
So this is like this. So I moved back to New York City December 2016. This is a hot minute ago. This is like when I feel like people just started meeting each other off the internet. Remember, it used to be weird to say, oh, I met her online. Yeah. I met her off the internet. It was during that time. So we're just coming out of that where people were like, actually, I like your style. Like, would you like to hang out? Like, or are you going to be at this party? People were really connecting through the DMs. So it was at this really interesting time within social media where people were using it for like authentic connection, which I think helped propel Sad Girls Club to be what it was during that time as well.
And when you saw how much it was starting to resonate with people, it's something to be said about companies and brands that, you know, are from turning pain into purpose, right? Like, you found something that you were struggling with yourself and wanted to share that in hopes that you could be a resource or just serve as vulnerability on your platforms. But what was that moment like when you started to see that other people were yearning for that kind of outlet as well?
Britt, I thought when I released my film, I thought everybody was going to think I was so weird. They weren't going to like me. They were going to think like, why is she talking about this? I don't even know what this is. Because you feel really alone when you have depression, especially when you don't have anyone else around you talking about it. So when I started speaking about it and I saw like people like authentically wanted to be a part of it and to share their stories and like were thanking me for being so vulnerable, I was like, okay, boom, I got something really, really great. And I was also looking for pages and things back then that I would resonate with, or pages I can like see myself in. And it was just like very whitewashed. It was nothing there just for like specifically geared towards Black women. And I was like, I can either like complain about it not existing or create something that is for all of us. And then that's exactly what I did. So I call myself an accidental activist because this was never something I planned to do. Like, I studied film production media. So this is something I never saw myself doing, but I'm like grateful and happy to have the opportunity to help people.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I mean, by accident, but like it turned out being something that's so helpful to people, and like being involved in a community like that is so important. When you first were kind of putting yourself out there, did you have any fears about being vulnerable and transparent, especially online? Like, how did you combat that if you did?
Hell yeah, because I was very much like I was kind of like a posting myself every once in a while kind of girl, and I let my like work kind of speak for my page. Like I wasn't like my page wasn't just full of Elise Fox things. It was just more of like my work and like my presence in the film world. So when I decided to like put a film out about myself, I had to really like to be honest, the film that I originally put out, what was going to put out, wasn't about my depression. It was about like all the great things I did after exiting like this really toxic relationship, and I was going to use it as like a way to show off like I'm doing all of these great things like without you. And like not authentic. I'm asking I filmed like a lot of artists in Los Angeles and a lot of like creatives who are just very open and like honest with their stories, and I had to like check myself. Like you ask all these artists to talk about the most painful parts of their lives, but you can't do the same. So I changed the entire narrative of the film to say like, you know what? Kept all the footage, but I used that to show like, okay, yeah, I'm at this party, I'm at South by Southwest filming these artists, but I had an anxiety attack backstage. Like just really talking about the real, and showing the juxtaposition of how things can look so positive and so perfect, but not really being the case when you have mental illness. So when I put that film out, I was so shook. Like people are not gonna understand, or they're not gonna hire me. They're gonna think I'm a liability. But now I'm like once I put it out, I literally deleted the Instagram app. I didn't delete my account, but I deleted the app, and I was like, I can't look at it for a day. But people were texting me and like, yo, this is back when 15-second clips were only allowed on Instagram. Like, yo, I cannot wait to see the full film. Like, this looks great. Yo, do you need anything? Can I support you? So it was the exact opposite of what I originally thought it would be.
You know what? It's something to be said about checking yourself when you're not being real with yourself, right? Like
And
it,
yes.
I feel like we're always quick to show off what we're achieving, what we're achieving, or what we're getting to, right? Like this is how I'm doing after this breakup, or whatever the case may be. But like, I think those that process leading up to it, before you even accomplish that, or what you're struggling with while accomplishing that, is also a story to tell.
1000%. Because that's the part, that's the actual experience. Like, that's the story. The hard part, the part you had to grow through. Like, that's the meaty, the best part of most movies are like when things are going wrong and they have to figure out how to go right. So, like, those are the parts I think we should continue to share about ourselves and like one another.
What advice would you give someone who is struggling with showing up with their showing up as their most authentic selves, especially on social media?
I would say like two sides of the coin. Like, don't feel pressured to be something you're not online. Like, if you don't want to tell your story right now, if you feel like this isn't the right time, then that's fine. I know there's like this, everything's like so trendy. Like, I have to hop on this trend of doing this. And it's like, you don't have to do that. Like, you can sit down, sis. Just be an observer. You don't have to hop on every single trend or do things the way someone else is doing it. But if you do want to share your story a bit more and it's something that's like very heavy to you, do it in a way that is authentic to you. Like, if you're not someone who was like, who wants to cry on, like, cry and take pictures and like post them, I'm not like a cry girl. Like, I never posted a picture of me crying, but like, I understand why people would do it. Don't do it. Don't do it in that way, because it's going to make you feel, it's not going to be authentic, and you're going to always question why you did it in that way. So I would say do it in a way that feels good to you. If you like to write songs or if you like music, maybe put together a playlist of the way you feel and like promote that as like, hey, this is like my mood for July. Like, check it out. Let me know what you think. And people might say, oh, same, me too. I thought everybody was happy in the summer, but I'm feeling like very down and out as well. You know what I mean? Like, you can do it in a way that is authentic to you. And it's like, you don't have to also share your story if you don't want to with the entire world. You can do it on your Finsta. I know we all still got our little burner accounts. You don't have to do it in a way that's so public, because also once things are out there, it's you can't take them back. You know what I mean? So just make sure
For
that you're
sure,
ready.
man.
You got to make sure you're ready for it. And like, you're gonna have people who rock with you. You're gonna have people who question you. You're gonna have people who don't respect it. So you have to be ready to accept like everything that comes with that.
Yeah, I feel like as a person who kind of struggled with, I guess, like the lines between like, okay, should I be authentic, show up as my complete full self, and basically expose myself, right? Not necessarily in a bad way, but in a new way. Or should I, kind of stick to what I know, talk about the topics that I know people are going to want to talk about or resonate with, or whatever the case may be. And you know what? Stepping in that authentic place and just being true to yourself, I feel like you always are going to get the most, rewarding feeling, I should say, because you're in alignment with your purpose. And so it might be hard at first, but
And you get there, and I love the way you shared your story, because I met you a while ago, and then I saw on TikTok how you were sharing like how you met your man, your fiance, and I was like, this is like, it was at a point where I needed to see something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never know how you're gonna affect someone else, but I think I like messaged you a comment. I was like, yo, this is like right on time for me, like selfishly. But I love the way that it seemed very authentic and organic to you. And every time you do post about it, it's like I learned something new, or I'm like Britt is going through like a big move, new changes in her life, doing these things, and it's like beautiful to see. And it shows me that there is light at the end of all of this. So I think like even with the way you show up and show for your community and for yourself and tell your story, it's very authentic to you, and like that resonates with me so well because I can tell how real it is.
Thank you, girl. I appreciate that. And you know what? It brings me to another point of just like showcasing your authentic self as you evolve, right? Like, I feel like, you know, what your life might be now may be different than how it was when you first showed up 6 years ago, right? And I feel like sometimes people are nervous to evolve or, you know, present a new version of themselves and where they are in this season, because they feel like they're going to lose the people who joined at the beginning when you were this old version of yourself.
That's so real.
So I guess talk to me about the evolution of Sad Girls Club. Like, talk to me about where you all are now and how that has changed from the start.
Where we are now, we are like steadily, like rapidly moving into being a global brand. We worked outside of the United States, or like service our community members outside of the United States, but only in like London and Spain. But I'm always like pleasantly surprised when I see accounts who are joining our programming from like the Philippines or East Asia or like Africa. It's like it's so cool to see how people resonate with like not only Sad Girls Club, but like within our community, they see themselves and they're making friends. So from when where we began, like having me asking for 1,000 favors to have an event for about 10 to 15 people, to having like a summit with over 100 attendees and going on tour this summer and last summer to 4 different cities across the nation. It's like it's showing me that, or Sad Girls Club is like showing me that there's no one way to heal a community. I'm very like, I'm like, let's just try it. I have a let's just try this attitude. And I'll have dreams about what I want to do, and I'll run it by my team. And like, I have somebody on my team who's like, alrighty, Lise, step by step. Like, let's just take this slow. We've been able to make all of these dreams come true. I was like, I want to go on tour. Rappers go on tour, and they just spew their nonsense all over the place. Why can't I go on tour? Positivity. Like, why not? Yeah, tell me why not. Okay, we could do it. Let's make it happen. And I'm like, I want to create new ways for us to like approach wellness in a way that's accessible, in a way that's like for the community, for the culture, and not just for everyone who thinks they want to be a part of the culture because they like our music and they like the way we dress. So I'm really like ears to the ground. Like now we're in, I had to learn this too. Like when as I evolved, my community has evolved. So I can't do the same things I was doing 5 years ago because my community members are like in their early 30s now. You know what I mean? Me. So now it's like, what does the early 30s girl want for her wellness? What does it look like to be a young professional in a big city or in a small city and not have community? And how can we fill in that void with Sad Girls Club events or programming and things like that, or conversations? So it's really like, I think I've gotten a really good grasp on like business. I didn't take one business class before Sad Girls Club. Like I said, I was a film girl. And I didn't take any nonprofit, like any no class, nothing like that. So I had to learn on the fly. But I think I'm in a good rhythm now where I understand the business aspect of it and how it relates to like longevity within the organization, which is a great feeling to have 6 years in.
And I think that that's amazing. One, like how much you all have grown in that time span, and also being able to listen to your community and see what it is they need at this time and grow with them, right? Like, have your community members in their 30s who are probably experiencing like getting married or becoming parents. And I feel like new levels, new devils, right? Like, there's always going to be something. But being able to provide for them at every level is, I feel like, what I love about you all. And just seeing how creative and innovative that you all stay, especially in a wellness or in an industry that is predominantly white, I should say. But being able to show diversity and inclusion in that is amazing.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. I feel like I'm in the house a lot, so I never really realize our impact. But until I hear and talk to community members, my son is coming up right now. Hi, baby.
It's okay.
Once I talk to community members, I'm like, okay, this is actually hitting. People are digging this, so I can continue. So it's really nice to hear. Thank you.
Yes, of course. And you mentioned like you thinking about ideas, like you wanting to go on tour, right? Because rappers and artists go on tour all the time. Where do you get, or how do you get most of your ideas? Do they come to you like when you're about to go to sleep, like in the morning, in the shower? Like what's the process, or just randomly?
It's a mix between, I would say majority of my ideas come to me in my sleep. Like I'll dream about things and I see them so clearly to the point where I'm like, I have a blueprint of exactly how this can happen. Let's fundraise towards it. So I dream very in depth, and that's been like the main sort, my main source. Like I've prioritized sleep so much because I'm like, I need to dream about what I need to do next. And I think it comes from like my film background and like my storytelling background. I need to like do that. And also just like life experiences and seeing what voids exist in my own life and how that can resonate with SGC. So we really are like a community-based org where I'm like, what do y'all want? Like I'll fill something and I'll do a poll on Sad Girls Club's like social media. Like, would you like this or this? Or what city should we reach out to for this for the Sad Girls Club tour? Like all of those things. I make it like a very communal effort to make sure that it's not just an Elise Fox perspective of what mental health looks like. It's like a communal perspective of like what's cool, what's not, what should we stop doing, what should we co be continuing to do. And then sometimes it's very random. I might see like a concept for a photo shoot or something that like a message within like marketing, and I'm like, actually, like that can be a full-on idea. You know, that could be a full-on thing, conversation. So I'll take things from like I'm inspired by living in New York City and seeing just like endless amount of people, presentations, things like that, and I take that and I grow with it.
I think like as a creator, you don't know when the ideas are gonna hit, but you gotta be ready when they do hit to write them down or something. I feel like most of my ideas come to me either while I'm working out. So I'm like run on the treadmill and then I get an idea. I gotta open up my notes app and jot it down. Or while I'm in the shower. Because you know what? Shower is therapy, right? Or water is therapy. And so I feel like it's synonymous to say that like, you know, the ideas can flow with you. But I feel like shower or on a treadmill, and I just have to like write it down and make it come into fruition.
Yeah, quickly. You got to write it down quickly because those ideas, they pass so quickly. That's how you know they're like, I feel like they're so valuable. You have to get it while it's in front of you, or like write it down or archive it, or else it'll just disappear.
And you said something about sleep being important to you. I know sometimes I get my ideas in my sleep too. But do you have like a solid, maybe like morning or nighttime routine, especially as a mom and an entrepreneur?
It's been a work in progress, but I say like the one thing that I'm consistent with, no matter where I am, if I'm traveling, if I'm home, if I'm tired as hell, I do my skincare morning and night. Like I brush my teeth, do my skincare every single morning and night, and it's like a thorough, like some depends on the season, but like right now summer, it's probably like seven steps or seven different products that I use and things like that. And in the winter, it's a lot more. So I like definitely do my skincare routine no matter what, and then I try to make up the bed, whether I'm in a hotel, at home, like making up the bed, just like it changes the scape of the room, and like it just makes me feel like I'm doing something right before I even leave the house.
I love that. I was doing my August goals this morning, and I was like, okay, a goal needs to be for me. I need to do my skincare morning and night. Usually I do mornings, of course, but night, sometimes I'm like, okay, let me go to bed or whatever the case may be. Life be life in. But what are your favorite products right now?
I've been using this brand. I like work with them to just like influencer work, but it's called Skin Proud. They have great vegan, like low cost products. Like I don't mind spending a little money on skincare, but sometimes I'm like, damn, $80 for a skin cream, that's kind of steep. So they're very affordable. I think everything is under like $15, and like they have this nighttime mask that you sleep with it on, and I love this for the wintertime because I get really dry skin. You sleep with it on, and then you wash it off, and your skin just like fresh out of the shower, you feel so hydrated and moisturized. So I do the full like, not collection, I guess, like the full series. They have a morning and evening routine. And then it's so dope. YSL has like a new, I have to find the name of it. I'm trying to look for it now. YSL has like a new base, like for like, I think it's called primer, a new primer base that I've been using just as like a lightweight base, whether I'm going to wear like a tinted moisturizer or just like sunscreen. And it's like hydrating, but not greasy and not oily. So it gives you like a nice soft matte finish. And it's just, it lasts all day long.
I love that.
It's so good. I'm like using it bit by bit so it doesn't run out. And then I'm like sunscreen girl down. So I have Everyday Humans has like this really nice shimmery sunscreen that's a spray. And I love that because I just keep it in my car. You know, when you're hopping out, you want to make sure them knees are good. So it's really easy to just spray it on. And it's like, it's I don't know. I just started using their products. They sent it to me and I'm a fan of everything they have so far.
I just started using a spray sunscreen as well, and I feel like it's so much easier and it doesn't leave a cast, like that white cast. And it's moisturizing too, which is better.
I can't with the white cast. And it's definitely moisturizing. It gives you that glow. Like, I like looking like a roll, like freshly glazed. Like, damn girl. Like, yeah, damn girl.
Yes. No, for real. And you, I just want to commend you, first of all, because I know you travel a lot. So you keep up with your skincare routine while traveling too?
I do. Because I model. I do model. So I have to like not look all raggedy and stuff. So I have to.
That's so good.
This is a part of my other job. And it makes me feel good because I get to close the door and I can just like take, I don't know. It's just like this taking step by step. And I'll like have like a little playlist playing. And I know within like five songs, at least I've taken 15 minutes or more on myself, just spent that directly on myself. And it's hard to balance that, especially as a mom, like giving yourself even 15 minutes. Sometimes I can't even use the bathroom or get a shower by myself. But for some reason, my skincare routine is always respected in the house. And when I close my door and do it, my son does his thing or he's already in bed or like my phone is on D&D and I just can be in the moment.
That's your ritual. I feel like that, and that's good too, to have something that you can always look forward to at the beginning or end of the day that's just yours. It's just your time. That's amazing. One thing that I wanted to talk to you about was, I know you all recently launched Remedy. And I want to hear all about that because, first of all, therapy is expensive. And the fact that you all offer that or have a scholarship for it is amazing. So talk me through, I guess, the launch of that and how it's doing so far and all of those things.
So Remedy is our like therapy grant program. It launched applications launched for World Mental Health Day in 2022, which was like October 10th. And it was a dream of mine to like, my first goal with Sad Girls Club was to provide free therapy to our community. But being a new like basically startup nonprofit, that's a big expense to take on. So it was always in front of my mind of like, this is where I want us to land. This is what I want. And thankfully we raised enough in 2021 to be able to bring it to fruition. So the goal with it is to provide scholarships on a quarterly basis to community members who have applied. And we have like certain criteria, but it's really pretty, like everybody deserves therapy. So it's a pretty loose criteria, but we want to make sure that it is open to any and everyone who wants therapy. And we prioritize black men and black women first to receive it. And as well as like the LGBTQ+ community. So when we launched applications, I was like, okay, we'll get like, you know, 50, 100 applications. Within 2 weeks, we had over 1,000. So—
Oh my goodness.
I was like, oh snap, okay. We gotta go. You gotta go back to the fundraising board. But it was great to see, but it was also like, okay, now I know we have to make our goals a bit more ambitious and we have to like fundraise a lot more to be able to provide the solutions that our community needs. So initially we had an idea or the goal was to provide three members. So the scholarship actually includes two sessions of therapy per month for an entire year for applicants, which is pretty competitive to other like grant scholarship programs, because we want to make sure that people have the time to like, you know, date this without, you know, feel like they're missing out on vouchers or losing vouchers. And the goal was for three people per quarter. And then once we received like the high volume of like applicants, we're like, okay, we want to hit 25 in 2023. So we're steady on pace there. We granted Q1 and Q2 grantees already, and it's been going like amazing. The feedback is awesome. Like every time I read the feedback and people are like, this is exactly what I needed. I was really about to give up. Like this came at the perfect time. I could not afford this. I just lost my job. Like all of these things like that just hinders us as a community in general, but like them seeing like they have a way out or they have a resource, that's what keeps me going to like continue fundraising towards this. So we do have an online, like an iFundWomen crowdfunding campaign to just like receive donations towards this. So we're really like leaning into our community to help support the community as well, or like leaning into like our supporters to help support our community. And this is the first time we've ever done that at SGC. Usually our programming is supported by partnerships or corporations and things. So now we're like, we all need healing. Like if you can donate $1, if you can donate $5 towards this, like it'll be really impactful. We're trying to gift like all these hours of therapy, and you know, we can't do it alone. So it's been a really, really dope program so far. And I'm happy to continue expanding it and like possibly collaborating with other Black nonprofits who are doing the same thing. I know Loveland Foundation does like very similar work. So I'm really like turning up like, how can we collaborate as like Black women in this space? Cause we all are doing very similar things to like make a large impact and make it a more sustainable impact too.
Yeah, no, I love that so much, especially it resonates with me because during the pandemic, I was going through a breakup. I quit my full-time job to pursue entrepreneurship, and then was experiencing solo living for the first time. And so I was just like, you know, there's so much happening, like I need therapy right now to just help me with the chaos in my mind, especially because I wasn't able to get home to Chicago. I'm originally from Chicago. I wasn't able to get home and like spend that time with my family. And therapy served as such a great outlet for me. It allowed me to get to know myself on such a deeper level. But because I was a new entrepreneur, I could not afford $150 every session. And I did therapy for like a year. I struggled. I like was at first doing it like every week, and then I had to go down to two times a month, and then went down to once a month, and then eventually stopped because I just could not afford it with the expenses that I was incurring in my business. But I say that to say that it's amazing that you all are working to make it accessible for those who cannot afford it, especially during maybe such a pivotal time in their lives. And I'm just so proud. Like, that sounds so amazing.
Thank you. See, like in stories like yours, it's like, I wish things were just a lot easier, which is like so easier said than done. But like, there's, I feel like the solutions are out there. We just like, as a community, our government is not going to help us. But as communities, like we have to really, really pour into each other and help each other, like get to the point where we can all have therapy. Like imagine if you like ask for $5 from various members of like your family and they all chipped in. Like that's exactly what we want to do, but like on a more global front, like, cause we have to be in charge of our own healing. Nobody's going to do it for us. No one's prioritizing mental health, unfortunately. And it's really sad to see, but I like I wish that there was like just so much more, but I feel like we're getting there and we're getting into a place where just like, forget them. We're about to do us and like make things just our own.
Exactly. No, I love it. And I will also leave all information for how you can support through iFundWomen to Remedy and SGC to donate, because I think that's such an amazing program and it needs more donations and voices to uplift it. So we'll definitely do that. What else is going on with Sad Girls Club? Do you all have any events or programming that we should know about or stay tuned for?
Right now we are on the Summer of Sad Girls tour, this is our second year, just traveling to different cities and basically bringing Sad Girls Club to a city near you, basically. So we, last year we went to 8 cities, 7 in the US and then 1 in London. And we scaled back this year and essentially just chose the cities that had the biggest impact in 2022. So this year we started off in New York with our big summit. And then we went to Atlanta and we just did Chicago actually last weekend. It was Beyonce weekend, so it was a really active weekend. And
yes.
Tomorrow is, or Saturday is Houston. And it's our way of essentially like meeting our community where they are and not expecting them to always like fly to New York or like be able to show up. So it's been nice to show up and meet and like give FaceTime to the communities that we love to serve. And instead of like us just coming in and doing our own thing, we're partnering with like women-owned brands within the city or Black-owned brands within the city to bring like to activate in the wellness space. So Alma Meunier, which is a really dope like streetwear company that does philanthropy through streetwear and organizing just like through community centers. They've been like an integral part of like our tour with providing space and resources and things like that. So in Houston, we'll be hosting an event at their space. And then we did a floral arrangement workshop at Beat Collective, which is a really beautiful floral shop in Chicago, owned by three incredible women. And it's just beautiful to like meet community members and like to also just be a part, just to feel a part of a space that we've never even been to, and just being able to like hug our community members and like show them like, this is like, we're here for you. And like, we'll continue to grow here. We'll continue to come and visit. And it's just good. And then after that, we have a really dope event called the 48 Hours Project. It's based in New York City, and it's our way of providing like 48 hours of wellness to our community members through like kind of like a wellness scavenger hunt, where we comp out services like massages or nails or dinner, like things like that. So you could just pop out, and maybe you're feeling like, okay, it's post summer, I don't really have much to do, Labor Day's over, I'm in like a lull. You have 2 days worth of activities that you can do fully comped out by Sad Girls Club. We give you a passport, you go around, you meet people along the way, and it's been really cute. This is our second year doing that too. And what I love is that people do it alone sometimes, and then they'll meet people along the way. And we saw that some girls were like having dinner together and then going out to a nightclub afterwards. So it's a great way to meet people who are like-minded, and like also you can see their interests because you guys are doing the same activities, you know?
Yes, creating community within community. Like, I feel like that's always the best. But that's amazing. You all have so many things coming up. And where can we find you? Where can we sign up for the events and everything?
You can find out about all of our events. It's two places. SadGirlsClub.org is our main website. We can like just see everything we have going on, sign up for all of our programming, which is free. And our events as well are free. And Sad Girls Club is our Instagram name, so you can follow us there. We are on TikTok, Sad Girls Club Love on TikTok. And those are like the three main hubs where you can find anything SGC. Just sign up for our newsletter to get like to have like first dibs on like ticket sales, or like not ticket sales, but for RSVPs for events. We always prioritize the newsletters first. But yeah, you can follow us on all those things. And my private Instagram is elise.fox.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Elise, for just sharing all your wisdom like you typically do, and just being the voice, especially within the wellness community. I can't express enough how proud I am and just how amazing you all are doing for SGC. So thank you for joining us on the show.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I hope you loved this episode with Elise Fox, founder of Sad Girls Club. I hope this episode served as a reminder to you to be vulnerable in your storytelling and not be afraid to fully step into your truth. You never know who's watching you, and you never know who you're inspiring in doing so. If you're enjoying our new season, The Art of Being Well, be sure to follow us over on Instagram at The Boss of Inc. And follow me over on Instagram as well at It's Brittany Nicole _. Be well.